The ripple effects on global markets from the Russia-Ukraine crisis are just starting to be felt. Oil prices are skyrocketing. Federal Reserve may only be looking for a 25 basis point rate hike in a few weeks. So what's next? Matt Miskin is the co-chief investment strategist at John Hancock Investment Management. Matt, good to see you this morning. Appreciate the time. Look, we've talked to a lot of folks the past 2 weeks telling us invest for the long term, invest for the long term, invest for the long term. But what does that even mean in an environment where we're seeing oil prices touch almost $120 a barrel, inflation is high, consumer spending looks like it's poised to slow? How do you even do that?
Yeah, so first I want to say, you know, our hearts go out to those that are negatively impacted by this war. And, you know, it is just such a human tragedy. But over the last 72 hours, there's been some pretty huge developments here. So first, the sanctions that are going into place as it relates to Russia are significant, and they're already being felt in a pretty big way. So the Russian equity market, stock market is basically being written down to zero, removed from all indices. We believe they could be in a technical default as of today in terms of their debt market. There's a run on the banks. So basically, people are just trying to get their money out as quickly as possible. And there's going to be a lot of social instability now driven from these pretty heavy-handed sanctions. So this is putting, you know, that regime against in a corner here. And we're really hopeful that there is progress made as it relates to this. But we look back at geopolitical events over time. You know, the one that we would look at closely as the closest parallel is the Iraq invasion into Kuwait in 1990. There was a recession. There was a spike in oil prices. But the markets actually snapped back within a couple months after that. October through January, the markets were down, but it did come back. And things can change quickly here. Again, these sanctions are significant, and they are likely going to be making some changes as it relates to the outcome of this. But that is something, obviously, we're watching very closely around risks.
But, you know, just staying on that, if you have 50% of your net wealth tied up in stocks, what would you be doing today?
We haven't made any changes, but our overall views have been to overweight the U.S. equity market in general. We just have seen those stocks actually get hit pretty hard here to start the year. Higher quality U.S. stocks, those companies with good balance sheets, good profit margins, they're down of the most year to date. That's a bit of a head scratcher to us. We think they're going to be less connected to all this geopolitical risk. We also like the fundamental support. The earnings look good. And while you did highlight some pretty good, you know, indications of, you know, trouble around this and risks around this, we are seeing a post-Omicron snapback in some of the economic data. So I know COVID, you know, is not in the picture as much anymore, but that is a good thing in terms of the economic backdrop. And so we are seeing a bit of a recovery there. We do see the U.S. economy actually holding in relatively well, all things considered. So we would put allocate into U.S. quality stocks amidst this. We do like the earnings backdrop, and then we could talk about bonds too, but that's our number one thesis in the U.S. equity and in the global equity space.
Matt, we heard from Jay Powell yesterday, and he confirmed that there will be a 25 basis point increase in rates at the next meeting. You're looking, though, at a potential yield curve inversion at some point this year. Why do you think that's still going to happen? Why do you think the Fed's not going to be able to sort of engineer around that?
So the Fed's in a position where they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. And what I mean by that is if they do raise rates, we do see an inversion of the yield curve. The 10-year Treasury yield to 2-year Treasury yield spread is now about 35 basis points. That's really close. And the flattening trend that has been developing really over the last year just keeps on coming. The Fed's forward guidance of pushing up that short end of the curve is likely to continue. We see the 10-year actually coming back down a bit over the course of the year. So we do see an inversion. That's a late cycle dynamic. It doesn't mean that overnight you're in a recession. Usually the market peaks 10 months after that. And then 4 months after that, you get a recession. So that still puts it out into next year, but it is another risk that we should be considering here as it relates to the timeline of this cycle. But again, if they don't raise rates and they say, look, the yield curve's too flat, we can't raise rates, then inflation just keeps going. And then they're in a tough spot as it relates to that. So really, they're put in a corner here, and I think they do have to raise rates methodically over the next year. Our base case is 4 rate hikes, which is still under the consensus, but we still even see an inversion of the yield curve with that 4 rate hike outlook.
So just to put a fine point on this, it sounds like you think no matter what the Fed does, a recession in the next 2 years is unavoidable?
I would say that, you know, if the Fed backpedals, so our the way we look at this, we believe the Fed's going to come in this year like a hawk and end like a dove. So they're going to start raising rates. They're going to look to cool inflation. But if they can actually pause at the end of the year and then let the economy kind of grow on its own rate and hopefully inflation dissipate, then that would be the way to thread that needle. As of now, this cycle is moving exceptionally fast. I mean, we had the fastest recovery in history, which then, you know, it creates probably the fastest economic cycle we've seen in a long time. We just can't use the prior parallels of cycles that were exceptionally long and slow moving. This is a very fast moving, high economic growth cycle, but it does likely mean a much shorter cycle than we've become accustomed to.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Matt Miskin, co-chief investment strategist at John Hancock Investment Management. Good to see you.